In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. On this fourth Sunday of Pascha, our gospel lessons shift from the resurrection accounts to lessons of repentance and healing involving water. We are pointed to gospel episodes which occurred while Christ walked the earth, episodes of his healing and changing lives with a connection to water as a prefiguring and pointer to, ultimately, to baptism, to holy baptism. And the fathers are very clear on this. And today, the paralytic is healed by the sheep's pool. So what is the sheep's pool? The most common sacrificial animal offered for sins, for the forgiveness of sins in the temple in Judaism, was a lamb, a sheep. That was what most people could afford. And according to the scripture commentator Saint Theophylact of Bulgaria, writing in the 11th, 12th century, it was not just that the sheep were washed in the pool before being sacrificed, as I may have thought over the years, but rather, it was after being sacrificed, the entrails, yes, the innards of the sheep were brought to this sheep's pool and washed in the water, with the belief that divine power was imparted to the water, and after that washing, an angel would descend into the water to work a miracle. St. Theophylact says that this feast for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem was the Jewish feast of Pentecost, which recalls the giving of the law by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. The Christian Pentecost, which we anticipate a few weeks from now, was the giving of the Holy Spirit, the giving of grace, which replaced the law. At the great feast of Judaism, the sacrificial offerings in the temple were greatly multiplied. And that was a busy time of bloody sacrifice. So we have at the sheep's pool bloody water. Bloody water, but holy water. The sign of blood bringing healing and purification was integral to Jewish theology and worship, and the blood of the sacrifices was taken and sprinkled upon the temple altar each time, and once a year it was sprinkled by the high priest in the Holy of Holies, in the deepest sanctuary of the temple. And now for us in the new covenant, it is indeed the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin, and which made the Jewish sacrificial system no longer needed and obsolete. And all that is background to the extraordinary figure of the paralytic. The paralytic patiently waiting to be healed for 38 years. 38 years. If we ever needed a reminder to never despair, this is it. Here with the paralytic is an amazing display of persistence, patience and perseverance, and of great and determined faith. Determined faith. He did not ever abandon hope in God in the course of 38 years. The elder Nikon Vorobyev, a Russian elder in the Soviet times, in one of his letters to spiritual children, as the book is called, his letters to spiritual children, he reminds us that we must show faithfulness to the Lord in the hard times, in the hard times, in times of faint-heartedness, in times of doubts, in times of coldness, in times of sorrow and illness and various misfortunes. He says we must exert our willpower to strengthen faith within us when by God's allowance it seems to be all but extinguished. It's at those very times where we're full of doubt and we feel our weakness at our very core that we have to command our willpower to believe, to hold on, to trust, to not give up. And the elder says that God permits these times of testing in order to show us where our choice lies. Where our choice lies. To believe or to live a meaningless life. Well, the paralytic did not lose his focus. He did not lose his goal over 38 years. He had a singularity of purpose. We have heard in recent years of the purpose-driven life, one of the passing movements in certain preaching circles. There is today in my neighborhood the Purpose Life Church. That's its name, Purpose Life. And we can all take a certain comfort. We can all take a certain comfort that God created us on purpose. He created us on purpose. He deemed that we're not an accident. That we're not an accident in history. God doesn't make mistakes. We can make our life into a mistake, into a misstep, indeed a waste. But that's not God's intention for us. That's not God's purpose for you and I. We spoke last week of the myrrh-bearer's determined love of Christ. Today we see the paralytic's determined hope and his determined faith in Jesus, in God, before knowing who Jesus Christ is. Any disability or handicap makes one have to focus, to concentrate, to focus one's energy and thoughts and efforts to overcome obstacles. In the hymn last night, we sang, "The paralytic was like a dead man, though not buried." All of us, brothers and sisters, have challenges in life to overcome, or at least to persevere through, to deal with. Father Schmemann used to say that the fundamental fact of our life is dealing with what you're dealt. Dealing with what you're dealt. And for some, it's dealing with success and achievement. And dealing with that can be more dangerous than dealing with lack of success and with failure. But dealing with what we're dealt, and not losing focus, not losing the vision of the kingdom of God beyond this world, not forgetting the direction of the ultimate destiny of our soul, the paralytic trusted God through everything. He must have seen others healed. He must have seen others healed. Others received the blessing, and he waited for his time. He waited for his blessing. He was patient waiting for God's time to act. And God's time, as we know, is different often from our time. We read in Isaiah chapter 64 what St. Paul would later quote in 1 Corinthians, where Isaiah says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waits for him. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what God has prepared for those that wait for God." That wait for him. So brothers and sisters, God is preparing and we're waiting. And our waiting on God is its own preparation. God is working with us and in us if we will only not lose heart. If we will only not lose heart and not lose trust and hope. So let us today allow the paralytic to inspire us. If he hung in there and waited for the Lord, trusting in God's purpose for his life, how can we not dig deeper for faith? How can we not dig deeper for trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has revealed God to us, who has offered himself for us, who has defeated sin, death, and the devil, to give us more than a fighting chance, more than a fighting chance for our victory over those same enemies of sin, death, and the devil. The Lord asks us, as he asked the paralytic, "Do you want to be healed? Then rise, rise, take up your bed and walk." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.